This is Fall Share-a-thon with Urban Family Talk. On the battlefront for your family, standing for truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
The Word of God will make you wise beyond your learning.
Amen.
Call now with your financial support, 888-778-7138. That's 888-778-7138. Or give online at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, should keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Thanks for listening. This is the Hour of Intercession. You're on Urban Family Talk. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're in the midst of our fall share-a-thon, and we appreciate you tuning in today. We want to invite you in the course of the broadcast, as we're doing throughout today, tomorrow, and Thursday. We will be in the midst of our share-a-thon, and we invite you to call this number, 1-888-778-7138, and call in. And if you'd make a pledge, you will help us to carry out the mission and the work God has called us to here at Urban Family. So if you would call in, we'd really appreciate hearing from you. Also, we ask that you'd please pray for these 3 days of Share-a-thon. It's a time where we do ministry and raising monies that help us to carry out the work and the call of God upon Urban Family Talk. So if you'll call that number again, 1-888-778-7138, we would appreciate hearing from you. Or visit us on our website at urbanfamilytalk.com, and you can donate that way as well. We invite you to look with us in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and it tells us these words of wisdom. Again, the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 3, starting at verse 1. My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor detest his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as a father the son in whom he delights. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Verses 1 through 14, Proverbs chapter 3. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the opportunity for us to open your word every day and hear from heaven and hear from your heart and your mind every single day as we simply take time one-on-one with you and read and meditate on your word. Lord, help every single one of us to grow in our love for your word, in our understanding of how important it is for us to get into your word every single day. Help us to be wise enough to make it a high priority in our lives, but help us also to teach and train our children to do the very same thing so that they too can receive the benefit that comes from reading and meditating on your word each and every day. We thank you. We praise you for this opportunity. And Lord, help us to not only help our children, but help us to make it a goal to encourage our family members, our loved ones, our friends, our coworkers, anyone we come in contact with. Help us to make it a high priority to encourage them so that they too can receive the great benefit of being in your word every single day. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Once again, let me share this number one more time. Again, we're in the midst of our share-a-thon. If you'll call this number, 1-888-778-7138, or visit us online at urbanfamilytalk.com and donate. We'd appreciate you being a part of our fall share-a-thon. We're grateful to have with us in studio today, again, Kelly Williams and her daughter Miranda, and they have a powerful, powerful story. They've actually written a book about their story as well, and I've had the privilege of having Kelly on before, but we didn't have Miranda last time, so we're grateful to have Miranda as well. So I'm going to let you, Kelly, just to kind of reintroduce yourself, though, because some people may not have tuned in, but also the added side of the story, of course, is we have Miranda with us today as well. So I'm going to let you take it from here.
Okay.
My name is Kelly Williams, and of course, Joseph introduced my lovely daughter, Miranda Williams. Our paths crossed at an event, and we had a lot of things that in common that we common beliefs. And
lots of ministry opportunities that we've had a chance to kind of work with and work together about.
Right. Mm-hmm. And as Joseph was sharing, there's a book, A Broken Mirror, that was written by Sarah W. Berry. It's a novel based on our life story. Mm-hmm. Events, certain names and places have been changed to protect people's identity. Mm-hmm. But the core story is true, and that's the powerful God's redemption, the powerful message of God's redemption, and that is the core of this story. Just in a nutshell, it's a story of abuse and abortion, and then ultimately leading to adoption. I have four adopted children, and so this book begins when I was about 9 years old, and I stayed at a family friend's farm, and during that week, I was sexually abused. At the end of that trip, I learned that my mother had been in the hospital during that week and was diagnosed with chronic progressive multiple sclerosis, and my grandfather explained to my sisters and I that it would be a good idea to help around the house and to do as much as we could to keep stress from my mother. Mm-hmm. And so obviously my grandfather had no idea about the abuse that had occurred during that week.
And you didn't choose to, at that time, you didn't say anything about that.
I didn't. At that time, I felt like if I had said anything about the abuse that occurred, that it would bring stress into the family situation. Mm. And as a nine-year-old, I was still processing what had happened. I wasn't quite sure. I knew that I didn't like what had happened, but as a nine-year-old, I was still under the adult authority. And so, and it was somebody that was trusted in my family. Mm-hmm. So,
sadly, which is too common.
Right.
And you know, I just to jump in here, Kelly, you know, what is sad is that a lot of people don't realize how common abuse is in homes and within families. It's
absolutely
too common.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And it really needs to be addressed so much more. And children need to understand, too. There's a time in which they really do need to often speak up to help end
right.
it, because if not, often it'll continue.
Right. Mm-hmm. We did find out that this person, there had been generations of abuse. And so that's right, Joseph. You know, it not only does it help in your healing process, but it may also prevent others from being abused.
Someone else from being a,
right.
a victim as well.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So my story continued. You know, life went on for us, and at about 15 years old, I was involved in a very serious car accident, which took about a year to recover from. Mm-hmm. During that time, I was given prescription pain medication, and at the end of that year of recovery, I realized that not only had that medication been numbing the physical pain, but it had also been numbing the emotional pain from what was going on with my mother's illness and then from the abuse. Mm-hmm. So at that point, I started to look to illegal drugs, alcohol, and eventually I added relationships to that scenario, just looking for an escape or something to fill the void, something to feel the pain. Unfortunately, those things that I was turning to only ended up making a larger void or a larger hole. Mm-hmm. I chose to run away from God because I felt like the things that I was doing were shameful. And, you know, Satan will use those things against you and tell you that when you've gone to a certain extent, that goes beyond what God's grace can cover. Mm-hmm. And so those were the lies that I was listening to. I felt like I was too dirty and too broken for God to want me anymore.
Well, let me jump in here real quick. You know, one of the things, one of the reasons why I appreciate persons like yourself and Miranda who are brave enough to really share a difficult story, a difficult journey you've been on, is because we live in a world where so many people are broken.
Right.
So many people have been through trauma and difficult times. And sometimes one of the lies the devil will tell us is that I'm the only one who's been through this.
That's correct.
Whereas in reality, many, many other people have as well. And so that's why it's such a blessing to be able to share stories like yours through the medium of radio, because it helps people to find out not only that the problems are out there, but healing comes through Jesus Christ.
Yes.
You know, very much so. And let me say once again, the title of the book is A Broken Mirror, and before our time ends, tell our listeners again how they can get the book if they'd like to get it, A Broken Mirror.
It's actually in the AFA bookstore. It's one of the places they can find it. You can go on Amazon and find it there. It's available on iTunes for your mobile device. Mm-hmm. And you can also go to BethelRoadPublications.com. Or I have a website, KellyWilliamsMinistries.com, where you can find a link to the book, but you can also see blogs and kind of follow the ministry that we now have. Okay. It's Kelly, K-E-L-L-Y, Williams, W-I-L-L-I-A-M-S, Ministries, M-I-N-I-S-T-R-I-E-S.com, KellyWilliamsMinistries.com.
Okay. Okay. Once again, that number, if you'd like to call and be a part of our fall share-a-thon, it's 1-888-778-7138. If you'd like to call and to make a pledge to help us to continue this important outreach of helping to bring the healing power of Jesus Christ through the medium of radio to a world that desperately, desperately needs it. Or you can go to urbanfamilytalk.com to make a donation online as well. Once again, the number 1-888-778-7138. Kelly, I'm going to ask if you'll, before you pick up with your story again, pray for listeners. You know, there may be someone who, in listening to your story, they're thinking they've been down a similar road or maybe hurting or going through some sort of difficulty, because even when people haven't gone down that specific road, they have something that may be similar or may feel like they've been hurting just as badly. Whatever's on your heart, would you pray for those people about
this?
Sure. Okay.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today, and Father, you know those that are listening, and you know that this is a divine appointment. Father, we've asked that you speak through us, and so we just offer that we are your vessel,
Thank you.
We know that you want to speak to all those that are listening that maybe have a situation that they are afraid to bring forth, or a situation where they feel like they've gone beyond the realm of grace that you offer. And Father, we just ask that you cover them, Lord, with your grace, that you cover them with your forgiveness, Father, and that you allow them to come forward, Father, out of the darkness, Lord, yes. Because we know that anything that's kept in darkness, Lord, that the Satan, that the devil can use, and that he can use that to keep us in bondage. But Father, if we bring those things forth, that you might shine your light, that you can break those chains of bondage, and that you can use anybody, Lord. You've created us for your good work, Father, and you won't stop with that good work until your plan and your time is complete, Father. So we ask that you bring all your precious children forth from the darkness and bring them into the light so that you might use them and so they might experience your goodness and your fullness, Lord. Father, we claim this. We claim this by the blood of the Lamb, Lord, by your precious sacrifice through your Son. Father, we claim this in your precious Holy Son's name. Amen.
Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests are Kelly and Miranda Williams. We'll be right back after this.
Right. truth, wisdom, and empowerment.
This is Tanya from Atlanta, Georgia. Hearing the Addisons has found a permanent place in my life, not only because of the biblically sound information coming from the program, but also because of the love and the respect that the Addisons show for each other. I'm a woman who has had very little positive examples of a loving, respectful, and healthy marriage. So as a woman who has a progressive personality, and I tend to talk more than my significant other, I deeply admire how the listeners are able to hear Miki's respectful will as her head, even through the radio and despite her strong communication skills.
Urban Family Talk, on the battlefront for your family. Call now with your donation, 888-778-7138, or give online at urbanfamilytalk.com.
How would you distinguish between a modern-day contract and God's ancient covenant? For one thing, in a contract, two or more human beings come together looking for mutual advantage. They study a situation, negotiate, and finally say, "We have reached an agreement." Contracts usually concern money, property, or services. With God's covenant, Abraham never approached God at the bargaining table. God simply said, "This is what I have to offer." The covenant hinged on Abraham's faith in God and in the certainty that God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. If God says a thing, then that settles it. By faith, we have inherited God's covenant with Abraham. Through it, God promised us eternal, abundant life. Can you believe God today for the covenant and thank Him? Ask God to give you the will to serve Him faithfully and know that God will always keep His word. With a heart for the Urban Family, I'm today's Urban Woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Did you know that this election cycle is perhaps one of the most important in our lifetime? Our community has been asked a provocative question. What do you have to lose to vote differently this time around? How we voted over the last 50 years have gotten us nothing. We're in the same condition we were in since the beginning of the war on poverty. To vote differently this time means better educational opportunities for our children, economic development in our communities and job creation, safer neighborhoods and protection of our religious liberties. Supporting liberal policies have gotten us gender confusion and legalized same-sex marriage. It's time we support the party whose platform stands for traditional family values and the sanctity of life.
Urban Family Talk is on the battlefront for your family, standing for truth, wisdom, and empowerment. Call now with your financial support, 888-778-7138. That's 888-778-7138. Or online at urbanfamilytalk.com.
The music of Covenant Church, the song Let My Heart Dance. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Once again, we're in the midst of our fall share-a-thon, and if you could call in and make a pledge, we would really appreciate it. Again, you can help join us in carrying out the mission of the work, the great work of Urban Family Talk. That number is 1-888-778-7138. Again, 1-888-778-7138. Or visit us online at urbanfamilytalk.com, and you can donate that way as well. Our in-studio guests today are Kelly and Miranda Williams, and Kelly is sharing a part of her story. So, Kelly, if you'll pick up where you left off then.
Okay. Well, I had turned to alcohol and drugs and relationships, trying to fill a void that I've learned now that only God could fill. So I continued in that way of living, and at 18 years old, I found myself pregnant. I was not in a relationship, and I immediately began to think, how am I going to hide this? I didn't want anybody to know that I had been promiscuous. I felt like it would cause more stress to my family, and so unfortunately, I chose abortion. When I made that choice, it took me to a place where I felt like I couldn't turn back. I felt like once I made that choice that my life, if there had been any glimmer of hope of finding redemption or, turning my ways, at that point it was over. The thing that I was hoping to take care of the problem only ended up causing more problems. It only caused more shame and more grief and more things to carry around and cover up. We'll flash forward several years. When I was about 24 years old, I found myself, I had been living, just looking from, one thing to another to try to make myself feel like I was alive, to make myself feel like I was worth something. And I found myself in front of a mirror. And when I stood in front of this mirror, I saw this person with dark sun circles under her eyes, and my clothes were disheveled, and I just didn't recognize myself anymore.
What kind of work were you doing at that time?
Well, ironically, I was a high school guidance counselor.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that I could tell everybody what not to do. Mm-hmm. And what I learned was when you need help,
mm-hmm.
you can't help other people. And mm-hmm. so God was bringing me to a place so that I could receive help.
Mm-hmm.
Scripture tells us that He comforts us so that we can in turn comfort others as He comforted us. And I just wasn't at the point where I'd allowed Him to comfort and to redeem all those things.
So at that point, you were really away from you were away from the Lord. Know the Lord, or
I didn't. I was not living. I had religion, but mm-hmm. I didn't have relationship.
You'd never accepted Christ at that up to that point in your life, then.
You know, there were points in my life where I felt like maybe. As a matter of fact, my grandfather was a Methodist minister. There are generations of pastors in my family. I grew up in the church. My parents were believers, but I hadn't experienced relationship. I'd only experienced the religion, the rote practice,
going through the motions.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, I found myself in front of this mirror, and it was like God put me there so that He could have this moment with me where I didn't recognize myself, and I flashed back over my life, and I ended up back as a 9-year-old child. And I remember thinking to myself, as a 9-year-old, like, how did I get from being that innocent child that believed in God just because my parents told me that He was real, that innocent childlike faith, that child who wanted to be a horse trainer and wanted to be a dancer. Now I'm 24 years old, and I'm the shell of a person who is using drugs and alcohol and people, you know, to find my way, thinking that that will fill the void, only making that void much larger. How did I get to that point? Mm-hmm. And almost instinctively, I raised my hands up to the only place that I hadn't turned. Mm-hmm. And I just cried out to God and I said, Lord, if you're there, if you love me, if you're real, would you please save me? Mm-hmm. And it wasn't as if, like, magically in that moment everything disappeared, but in that moment an overwhelming peace, mm-hmm. That I hadn't experienced in years and years and years, just covered me like a blanket.
And that was a turning point, a clear turning point in your life.
Absolutely. It was mm-hmm. a clear turning point. God began to break some walls down that I'd put up in my life. He began to bring people into my life. And he just began this relationship. You know, mm-hmm. it was as if I was hungry. I could not get enough of the word. I could not get enough of his followers. I couldn't get enough of the things that brought me closer to him. Mm-hmm. And
praise God.
So I started, you know, seeking God, and through that seeking, he brought me into this relationship with a man. And I was about 26. I met this man, and he had lived this type of life mm-hmm. that I felt God would really smile upon. Mm-hmm. He was a very godly man, and that voice that I'd listened to for so long that was very dark mm-hmm. began to scream in my ear again that once this man found out about my past, that mm-hmm. he would no longer want to have any part of my life mm-hmm. or any part of me. So I built up the courage, and I talked to the man's name was Stan, and I said, Stan, there are some things about my past that I need to tell you about. And he said, well, Kelly, have you asked God to forgive you? And I said, yes, I've asked God's forgiveness. And he said, well, if you've asked God to forgive you, then I don't need to know about your past, because when you asked for God's forgiveness and you asked him into your heart, then he made you a new creation. Mm. And so I know you now, I know your heart now, and that's all I need to know. Well, for me, that was just another confirmation that God was who he said he was.
Amen.
Mm-hmm. And so he used that image.
I'm going to jump in one more time again. We're grateful that you're listening in today. We're in the midst of our fall share-a-thon, and our in-studio guests are Kelly Williams and Miranda Williams. That number, if you'd like to call and make a pledge to help us carry our mission forward, that number is 1-888-778-7138. Again, 1-888-778-7138. Or visit us online at urbanfamilytalk.com to make a donation. Okay, please continue, Kelly.
Okay. Stan and I continue to date. We ended up getting married when we were 27 years old. Mm-hmm. At 28 years old, I found out I had severe scarring and a less than 5% chance of ever becoming pregnant. Well, I immediately thought, I'm being punished. Mm-hmm. Like, this is it. This is what happens. And so that was one thought. It was like I had this angel on one side and the devil on one side, you know. I thought mm-hmm. the devil was saying, this is what happens, you know. God lets you get comfortable, and then he just rips the rug right out from under you. Mm-hmm. But then I had this other side that said, you just have to trust. You know, I'm in this, just and I love
the Lord,
you.
No matter what.
and you have to trust that I'm in this. Mm-hmm. To make a long story short, my husband and I decided to try in vitro fertilization. There was a small chance that we could become pregnant. Mm-hmm. We were successful by means of we were able to become pregnant several times, mm-hmm. but we would lose those babies. So we went through that several times where I would get pregnant and get close to being released from a specialist care, and then only to miscarry.
Which is a very hard thing all by itself.
It is. It really was a difficult time. During that time, a friend of mine suggested that I claim some scripture, which is not something that I'd ever done. And to be 100% honest with you, in my mind, I thought, you know, sure, I'll do that, but that doesn't work for people like me. My husband had given me a study Bible. I opened it up. I looked in the back, and there were words, you know, in the concordance where I could, you know, try to find something that related to my situation. I was led to Ephesians 3:20, which says God can do immeasurably more than all we dare to ask or imagine. And I claimed that verse. And as I was, you know, going through this difficult time, there were times when I didn't pray that in a loving way. I would cry out to God and I would point my finger and I would say, you know, Lord, you promised me that you would do immeasurably more than all I could dare to ask or imagine. This does not feel like that. But he also led me to Mark 9:24, which is a story about a man whose son, he wanted Jesus to heal. He took his son to Jesus, and Jesus tells the father, you know, I'll heal your son. All you have to do is believe. The man immediately said, I do believe, but please help me with my unbelief. And so that's what I would do. I would pray, Lord, you know, immeasurably more, but please help me with my unbelief because I don't believe right now. You know, everything that's in front of me says that this is not good, but I want to trust you. You know, when left to my own, device, this is, you know, I knew where I got and it wasn't good. And I heard this voice saying to me, you know, trust me. I wanted to believe with everything that was in me, but there was this part of me that didn't believe. And I think that's a very important part of my story here today, is that if we keep those things hidden, God can't do anything with it. But if we bring forth all those things that we consider dirty, or things that God can't, you know, forgive, or things that God wouldn't want to hear, if we bring those forth and confess them, God can take those things and he can use them for his goodness and his glory.
That's right. That's right. We serve a big God.
We serve a huge God. And it's not like he doesn't know it. He knows all those things, you know. But if we bring them to him and we lay them at his feet, then he'll use them.
That's right.
So anyway, we were unsuccessful. We were unable to have a pregnancy that led to a child being born. I would continually pray, Lord, if I'm not meant to be a parent, please take this desire away. And that desire only got stronger. So we were led to adoption. I wish I could tell you I was somebody that had always wanted to adopt. I had fears about adoption. I thought, you know, what if we don't bond? You know, what if the child doesn't like me? What if I don't like the child? You know, I just had lots of fears. Where's the money going to come from? But the Lord made it very clear that that's the road that we were being led down.
Right, right.
So,
you know, just to mention artwork, just about coming into another break here, though, but it's, again, appreciate your honesty and sharing, as you're sharing, Kelly, you know, because, like, the adoption process is unique, a journey. It can be expensive, but at the same time, we serve a God that miraculously will supply money and people to help down that journey. But the key is trust God.
That's right.
Trust God in all situations and all circumstances.
And if you're feeling unsure, let him know that. You know, tell him all your fears and he'll deal with them. You know, it's funny because all the things that I was afraid that God would frown upon, you know, when I prayed, Lord, immeasurably more, it was almost as if he would say, now you're talking. Now I can unleash my power. You know, I can work through these things and bring my glory.
Right. All right, we'll pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guests are Kelly and Miranda Williams. Again, if you want to join us for Share-a-thon, that number to call in and make a pledge is 1-888-778-7138. We'll be right back.
Hello, this is Dr. David Jeremiah with Turning Point Ministries. As we head toward Election Day, I want to remind you of the privileges of independence and freedom that we have in this country. We thank God for giving us those privileges, and we cannot take them for granted. It's important that we work together to help guard the privileges that have been given to us, and voting is one way each of us can do that.
This message brought to you by National Religious Broadcasters, reminding you to make plans now to vote November 8th.
Coming next week on The Dwelling Place, Pastor Al Pittman continues to walk us through the Bible, line by line and verse by verse, to let God show us just how timeless His truth is. That's next week on The Dwelling Place.
The Dwelling Place with Al Pittman, weekdays at 2:30 and 10:30 p.m. Central on Urban Family Talk.
Christians are supposed to be citizens of heaven, not earth. But Dr. Tony Evans says the Bible does give us some instruction about what we're supposed to do while we live on this planet. He'll talk about that today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
I am a consummate American. The Bible says honor the king and honor the country. And so it is very valid to honor where you live and where God has placed you. But there are limitations. Please don't misunderstand me. God is not against government. God established government, but He didn't establish it to compete with Him. He established it to serve Him. So first of all, we have to make clear, what is this relationship between God and government? Well, there are a lot of places we could go, but let me just start with probably the premier scripture on the subject, and that is Romans chapter 13. Every person is to be, verse 1 says, into subjection to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. And those which exist are established by God. Therefore, whoever resists authority has opposed the ordinance of God, and they who have opposed it will receive condemnation upon themselves. For rulers are not a cause of fear for good behavior, but for evil. The point I want to bring up here is he makes the clear statement, the goal of government is to act on God's behalf in promoting good and limiting evil.
If you're concerned about the direction our government and our country are going, contact us for details on Dr. Evans' book called America. It explains how we can use the Lord's power to reclaim justice, morality, and strength for America, and spark a revival like our country has never seen. Get details by visiting us at tonyevans.org, and be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Standing for truth, wisdom, and empowerment, Urban Family Talk is on the battlefront for your family. Call now with your financial support, 888-778-7138. That's 888-778-7138. Or online at urbanfamilytalk.com.
Everybody say, let the rain fall. I need it, Lord, let the rain fall. I need it, Lord, oh, let the rain fall. Oh, please, Lord,
and refresh my soul
in a dry and thirsty land. Lord, please, Lord,
let the rain fall.
Living water of life, Lord, in my desert land, in my desert land.
Refresh my soul.
The music of Donnie McClurkin, the song Let the River Flow. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our number, once again, if you'd like to join us and make a pledge during Share-a-thon, is 1-888-778-7138. Again, 1-888-778-7138, or visit us online at urbanfamilytalk.com to make a donation. Our in-studio guests today are Kelly and Miranda Williams, and Kelly's going to pick up with a story where we left off.
we were led to adoption, and for the sake of time, I really want Miranda to share this part. Mm-hmm. We have a very unique adoption story. Mm-hmm. We ended up adopting twins, okay. Infant twin girls, on a due date for twins that I miscarried. So God made it very clear that this was His plan for our lives. Mm-hmm. Those girls, you know, I couldn't love anymore. You know, as much as they needed us, I desperately needed them, mm-hmm. you know, that much more. And God has really built our faith. A few years later, we decided that it was time to adopt again, and we told the Lord we would take any child. And I'm going to let Miranda tell you mm-hmm. her side of it, because I think she has a very unique perspective as well.
Okay. All right. Go ahead, Miranda.
Miranda, I just want, if you would start, like, when you were laying in bed. Miranda was a teenager, and if you'll tell them that part.
Okay. When I was 16, I found myself pregnant, mm-hmm. and I thought, great, this is God punishing me for all the wrong that I have done in my life, the drugs, alcohol, just everything. And I said, God, I just prayed, God, please, will you just take this pregnancy away? Just take it away, and I will change my life. I'll do whatever you want me to. Mm-hmm. And after I prayed that, I was laying in bed, and I just felt I just felt God say adoption. And that's something I had never even considered before. And mm-hmm. I felt this peace come over me. And I was like, okay, God, that's what I need to do. I'll do it, because
in other words, have the baby and put the baby up for adoption. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I wanted to give the child growing inside my belly the life that I couldn't give him. And I wanted him to have a better life than what I had. Mm-hmm. And so I found New Beginnings here in Tupelo, and mm-hmm.
which is a local adoption agency here,
yes,
in Tupelo. Okay.
And they have a care center where birth moms can come and stay mm-hmm. while they're going through the adoption process. So I came up here, and, well, short story, I was going through the adoptive parent profiles mm-hmm. to pick out the adoptive family that I wanted for my child. Mm-hmm. And I had one family kind of put off to the side, and then I got to Kelly and Stan's portfolio. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the letter, it said, we don't know who you are, and we don't know what you've been through, but we just want you to know that we're praying for you. Mm-hmm. And God came back, and He said, that's them. Mm-hmm. You pick them.
Praise the Lord.
And so I did.
Now, why did you not stay at home during the pregnancy?
When I was 11, my mom abandoned me, mm-hmm. and I had to go live with my grandmother.
Okay.
And my grandmother was very old-fashioned, and she thought, you know, you're too young to be pregnant. And, mm-hmm. you know, I still love my grandmother, but she came to me and she said, you've got to have an abortion.
And that's what your grandmother told you.
Mm-hmm. She mm-hmm. said, you're too young, Miranda. You have to have an abortion. Mm. And I said, no. And I still didn't know what I wanted to do at that time. Mm-hmm. But I knew that I didn't want to do that.
You did not want to abort your baby?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And then God came to me and said adoption. So
her grandmother didn't want her to stay in her hometown while she was pregnant, and so that's how she ended up
at the home.
Okay. Yeah.
When I told her that I wasn't going to have an abortion, she said, well, you can't stay here and be pregnant.
So basically she put you out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's how tougher right. a spot could you possibly be in.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm amazed at Miranda's strength, because I did have a home, mm-hmm. you know, and I chose abortion. And then, you know, Miranda had been put out of her home. But the difference there is that Miranda had God.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't chosen to listen to God. And so, you know, I was afraid of the consequences, you know, and Miranda likewise was afraid of the consequences, but she chose to trust God. Mm-hmm. And so I want Miranda to tell you where those choices, when she listened to God, where they led her.
Okay.
Since I obeyed God's word, Kelly and Stan adopted my son, mm-hmm. Weston. And through that period of going through the adoption process, Kelly and I became very close. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know where the relationship was going to go at that time, but we knew that we didn't want to stop then after I had to move back home to finish high school.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we kept in touch, and our relationship only grew stronger. Mm-hmm. And when I was a senior in high school, Kelly called me one day and asked me if I would consider moving in with them mm-hmm. and to go to college here in Tupelo. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. I did. I packed up all my stuff on my 18th birthday, and I drove up to Tupelo and moved in with them.
Oh, praise God.
I was scared, mm-hmm. and we were both really scared because we still didn't know how our relationship right. was going to go, mm-hmm. and people were looking at Kelly like she was crazy. What are mm-hmm. you doing?
Because it's very unusual for the adoptive mom mm-hmm. and the birth mom to really be close in the way that you all had become. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the thing that has kept us together is we were both completely honest with each other, mm-hmm. and we both listened to what God wanted us to mm-hmm. do.
Mm-hmm. Listen to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. And
which is always wise to do all the time right. in every situation. Yeah. Listen to the Lord.
That's absolutely right.
Mm-hmm. And it was hard. We had our moments, but mm-hmm. we talked through it, mm-hmm. and we got through it. And I had one of my biggest things was I had, as Weston started to grow older and he started calling her mommy and not me, you know, that hurt, of course. But mm-hmm. I would take the time and I would pray and I said, God, this is what you wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. This is what you wanted me to do. Mm-hmm. I have to obey you. But I had Satan on the other hand going, well, you know, you're nothing. Mm-hmm. Look, you don't have anything. And, but I just prayed and I said, God, just please break down these walls. Please take away these feelings so we can, you know, work through it. And he mm-hmm. did. And after he broke down all those walls, I've never felt that way again. Mm-hmm. And a couple of years later, I started to feel like Kelly had become my mom, mm-hmm. a mom that I never got to have. Yeah. And Stan became the father that I had always dreamed of, but I never got the chance to have either. Mm-hmm. And the girls just made it even better in Weston. Mm-hmm. They made me a big sister. And in 2014, November of 2014, mm-hmm. Kelly and I got to talking, and they asked if I wanted to be adopted. Mm-hmm. And
praise the Lord.
And so now we're one big happy yeah. family. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And one thing that I really like to tell people is I feel that because I obeyed God's word mm-hmm. in choosing adoption, he came back and gave me more than I could have ever imagined. He gave
praise
me
God.
The family that I never had, and he gave me love.
Mm-hmm. The God who can redeem any situation, any difficulty, any storm. He knows how to mm-hmm. take the mess of life and make it into a masterpiece. Praise
and can
God.
I just say this? Mm-hmm. Like, all the fears that I had about, like, you know, Weston and Miranda and who was going to, you know, be the mom and who was, you know, mm-hmm. those just things that, you know, people were saying to me, you know, how's this going to work? Mm-hmm. We just took it one day at a time and let the Holy Spirit lead. Mm-hmm. But the beauty of watching my oldest daughter never have to wonder if she made the right decision mm-hmm. and to see my son not ever have to say, why did she give me away? Did she not love me?
Right.
You know, watching that relationship unfold mm-hmm. is one of the most beautiful things I've ever been a part of. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was concerned about my twins because they don't have the type of open relationship that Miranda and Weston have. You know, people were concerned that they wouldn't understand. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the twins came to me one day and she said, oh, Mom, I get it. I get it now. Our birth parents loved us the way Miranda loves Weston. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, God just used Miranda and Weston mm-hmm. as this visual imagery, mm-hmm. you know, and I think it all goes back to our relationship with Christ. Is we're all adopted, you know,
that's right.
We're all orphans and in need of a family, you know, yeah. And so I think God's just brought that to light through our family.
Amen. Mm-hmm. You know, our time is just about completely gone. To share with our listeners one more time how they can get the book, A Broken Mirror, and then I want you to close our time in prayer.
Okay. You can go to Amazon. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Bethel Road Publications, where Sarah W. Berry, the author of the book, and she has, I just have to say, she has many, many other things that are so worth reading. Mm-hmm. And then you can go to KellyWilliamsMinistries.com, where you can read a little more about our story and blogs that I write, and mm-hmm. and you can also order the book from that site.
Okay. Would you share a closing word of prayer?
I sure will. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we just praise you and thank you for this opportunity Jesus. Today. Father, we just pray that that the only thing that comes is just more Jesus. Power and more glory yes. to your name, Father. We will never, ever thank be worthy. You, but God, we thank you for choosing us in thank spite you. Of who we are. Lord, I love the way you choose the lowliest, the most sinful people so thank that you, there is no doubt who the mighty, who the Savior is. Thank Lord, you work Jesus. Through us in spite of who we are. Father, and if there's anybody out there listening you, who thinks Jesus. They are unworthy, Father, please you, make them know. Lord, have them know that you are just waiting for them to come back into your fold. Father, we love you so much, and we praise you thank for this you, day Jesus. And for all your great mercies.
Thank you, Lord.
We ask that this time will be used for your glory. You, we pray these things in your precious Son's name. Amen.
And Father, I thank you and I praise you for Kelly and Miranda. Thank you for the wonderful and the powerful story and testimony you've given them. Lord, open up many doors for them to both share their story, both through the book and in person as well, so that many other people who have brokenness in their lives as well can see that you're such a big God, a great God, an awesome God. You can take the broken pieces of our lives and bring something beautiful out of it, no matter what the story is. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Kelly and Miranda, for being with us today.
Pleasure.
Thank you for being a part of our listening family. Once again, that number is 1-888-778-7138. If you'd like to join us in our fall share-a-thon, we'd appreciate it. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession. Oh, yeah.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk.
Urban Family Talk.